read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Good morning and welcome to the land that we have hippity-hoppitied off to. It is book land, and we're very excited. It's the, well, if you think about it, we just have a few weeks before the holidays, and which is great about that is that we think gifts, that books make great gifts. So we check in with our independent booksellers, as we do every week of the year, and check in with our local independent booksellers to find out great things. This time of year, it's really nice because we find out about books that would make wonderful gifts and things that perhaps were off your radar, but should be. So, Matt Tannenbaum joins us. He, besides being a dear friend and someone who I greatly admire, he is a bookseller for the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. He joins us this morning, and it's very, very nice to have him with us, as it always is. Hello, sir.
Joe, good morning.
You're wearing a tie. I feel grossly underdressed.
That was not my intent.
No, you look...
I wanted to show you my holiday tie.
It's first of all... really cool. It's got Santa, has Santa...
Santa's on vacation.
Surfing. Yeah, Santa's on
surfing,
surfing and sailing and
sunbathing.
He's doing it. He's got a little gut. That's good. He's it's a great tie. It's red and it's kind of retro. It looks very, very cool. And you look very respectable, and we thank you. Not that you don't always look very respectable, but it's very nice to have you with us.
It's my brother-in-law tie. You have to be and have a brother-in-law to have a tie like this. You know that one. I don't have to explain, right?
No, you don't. You really don't. Where would you like to begin, sir?
I have three law firms I'd like to talk about.
Okay.
No, they're not law firms. They're accounting firms. Listen to these. I have these authors grouped. I have Klein and McCary. Does it sound like a law firm?
Yep.
Firmer and Modiano. That definitely. Yep. Who do you want to talk to? Press one for Affirmer, press two for Modi, press three for death and taxes.
Yes.
A solitary lawyer, Oliver Sacks.
Oh.
His new book just came in yesterday. Gratitude.
Yes.
You know about this book.
I do.
And then the last firm is Church, Lays, and Mayer.
There you go.
Church, Lays, and Mayer, that sounds like a good firm.
It could be.
I would choose any of those. Let's.
Or they could be really good books. Individually, they can be great books.
Yes, they're authors. These are not law firms. These are not accounting firms. These are authors. We're going to start with the Klein and McCary firm. We're going to start with Charles McCary, who has a brand new novel out, The Mulberry Bush. This is his 11th novel.
Okay.
He wrote seven novels. With McCary's an espionage writer. He was in American intelligence in deep cover in Europe, Africa, and Asia in the 50s and 60s, and in the 70s started writing espionage novels. We became friends in the late 80s or early 90s, I can't remember when, and I have signed copies of The Mulberry Bush. I went and saw Mr. McCary a few weeks ago when he signed a bunch of books for us. And this novel is about an intelligence agent who decides to seek revenge on headquarters, the name he uses for the outfit.
Well, CIA. The outfit.
Yeah, the outfit. We did.
Okay.
And for the way they treated his father, and he decides that he's going to destroy it from within. And it is filled with... there's a couple of great in-jokes. The American agent meets a Russian agent. This is long after the demise of the Soviet Union.
Right.
And they're having a conversation. They're dancing around each other. And the American guy says, the Russian apologizes, Boris. And our unnamed narrator says... The line is something like, "I'm more sorry than you are, Boris," and it's a line he takes directly from Dr. Strangelove.
Oh,
And Boris, of course, doesn't know this line.
No. not an aficionado of the
he doesn't know that.
The Bond dialogue.
So this is the second straight novel that McCary's written without the narrator does not have a name. He's a nameless narrator. You have no idea who he is, and he knows who he is. Pardon me. And he goes about his business employing tremendous tradecraft, as they call it, the mulberry bush. And there's a special treat for anybody who knows anything about the bookstore in Lenox on page 71. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Not on your time, right? So I just want to read this quick quote from Nelson DeMille. We all know our buddy Nelson DeMille, who says Charles McCary has been compared to John Le Carré, but maybe Le Carré should be compared to McCary. That's a lovely thought.
Yeah. McCary's always been under the radar in that regard. Le Carré, there were more movies. There are books of McCary's have been optioned for movies, but when it gets to production, the producers always bow out. And I'll tell you why later.
Okay.
It was because of one of his early novels.
All right.
And they're just too fearful of him.
It's Charles McCary, The Mulberry Bush, and it's published by Mysterious Press. Good stuff. Next
one is in that same firm of Klein and McCary, Danny Klein. You had him on the show.
Speaking of good friends, a dear friend, a good man and a wonderful writer whose new book is Every Time I Find the Meaning of Life, They Change It.
Danny was one of the first people I met when I moved to the Berkshires 40-something years ago.
Yep.
And the only complaint I have about one of his joke books was that I knew most of them.
Yeah, well.
Because we had spent so much time together. But it's great. He's the guy who wrote, he and his buddy Tom Cathcart wrote Plato and a Platypus Walk Into a Bar, Philosophy Explained Through Jokes. He was a philosophy major at Harvard, as you know, and went back and found this notebook and expanded on his notebook of pithy sayings. And it is really an intelligent book. He really knows his philosophers. You can't get anything by this guy.
So and the point of this is looking at taking this notebook that he had in his years at Harvard, but looking at what the great philosophers had to say on how to live our life, and how he has looked at different people at different times and different phases in his life and puts them together in this really neat little volume.
And you know, gives you an understanding of what it is to have meaning in your life.
But the thing to know here is that Danny Klein is a hilarious writer. He's written for some of the great comedians of all time, and he is just it's a beautiful, fun book.
We had lunch last week, and he made the wait server almost fall over in laughter.
Yeah. He's the best.
I would have fallen over, but I had already sat down.
Every Time I Find the Meaning of Life, They Change It, Daniel Klein, and it's published by Penguin, and it's just great.
Who's our next group? It is Firmer and Modiano.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to start with Modiano.
Oh, we're going to start with Modiano.
Where is
it? All right.
Oh, the Occupation Trilogy. Now, I've talked about Patrick Modiano before.
You have?
I have.
A Nobel Prize winner.
Okay. Right, Nobel Prize winner.
Yes.
In 2014.
See, I pay attention.
I've been reading Modiano almost exclusively.
Have you been binge reading?
I have been binge reading. And this new one, the new one that I'm reading now, the Occupation Trilogy, are three of his earliest novels, and they are unlike all the other ones that I was reading, like Suspended Sentences. This is the Occupation Trilogy out in a paperback original. The first one is La Place de l'Étoile. The Night Watch is second, and Ring Roads is third. I just about finished the first one, and it is hilarious. And it is fresh, it is young, it is outrageous. And he burst on the scene with this in his early 20s, in the late 60s in France. And it was part of the new wave cinema, Godard and Louis Malle and Truffaut. And he actually wrote the screenplay for La Comme Lucienne for Louis Malle, which was another book about Modiano is all about the occupation. The occupation and the after effects of the occupation. And this first book, La Place de l'Étoile, is a, here's how I'm describing it to my customers when they come in. It is a parody of anti-Semitic pornography. It seems to be a self-loathing Jew in Paris after the war, dealing with being a Jew during the occupation. And European anti-Semitism, French anti-Semitism, the French Gestapo, the collaborators. It's an incredible and it's a very fast book. It's different from all his others, which are more dreamlike, which are more fog-like. This one is his narrator, and his name is Raphael Shlemilovich. So he's making fun of, it's a Jewish word, the Shlemil, right?
Yes.
And making fun, and so it seems to be self-loathing, but it's not. It's I wish I could describe it any better. Come in and look at Patrick Modiano, The Occupation Trilogy.
The Occupation Trilogy, it's published by Bloomsbury Press. Patrick Modiano. All right.
The next guy in that firm is Patrick Lee Fermor. And actually, I'm cheating. He didn't write this book. He translated it. This is The Cretan Runner, His Story of the German Occupation by George Sikundakis, published by the New York Review of Books, which has published in this country all of Patrick Lee Fermor's travel adventures as a young man traveling through Europe in the 30s. And then Fermor went to Greece. He was airlifted onto the island of Crete with the mission of kidnapping the German general who was in charge of the island of Crete during the war. And George Sikundakis is one of his runners. And this guy, a young guy, 25, 26 years old, you know where the word marathon comes from, right? The marathon runner in ancient Greece. This guy was a marathon runner.
Yeah.
This guy delivered messages over 50, 60, 80 kilometers, mountains and snow in the winter, and was instrumental in helping the British clandestine force overcoming General Creep, kidnapping him and then eventually wresting the island from the Germans.
So he's a shepherd who gets kind of pushed into this.
He's a young shepherd. The Germans. The book begins with him describing the Germans coming over, the airplanes flying over and invading, and the British force that was on the island of Crete to defend the island being completely overrun, and then the resistance began.
This is, I say this every time you come here, but this is exactly why I love you, because I did not know this book existed.
Yeah. I've been waiting for this book because I heard about it. Fermor has, New York Review also has published, and I didn't bring it, Fermor's own account, The Abducting the General, or The Abduct, which is his official report. Years ago, Stanley Moss, who was the other guy with Fermor, in British intelligence, wrote a book called Ill Met by Moonlight, in which he describes the events. But now Fermor's actual reports that he filed has just been published. But this is, and it's good. And I've dipped into it. I haven't read the whole thing. But this is lovely. And there's only one chapter in here in which the Cretan runner, George Sikundakis, describes that operation. But the rest of it is all about the resistance on Crete during the war. And it's a great story. And it's Fermor translated it. That's why he's in that firm. That's why. I couldn't write Sikundakis as a lawyer. I couldn't do that. Okay.
Good stuff. Next.
Next is Oliver Sacks. Oliver Sacks, who died at the end of August.
Passed away. End of the summer.
Just before he got his fatal diagnosis, that the cancer in his eye had metastasized, he finished his memoir, Moving On, right, which was a big seller. Everybody loved this book.
Amazing book.
All summer long. All summer long, I gift-wrapped so many copies of that book. And do you remember the photograph of Sachs on the back of it? He's sitting on a bench overlooking Machu Picchu, writing in his notebook.
Right.
I felt by the end of the summer that I had been on Machu Picchu with him. I had seen that picture many times.
The cover photo was great, too, of him as a young man on a motorcycle and the leather jacket and the whole bit.
So this book just came out. We just got it yesterday. Gratitude, the last four essays that he wrote were published in the Times during the summer. A very slim volume and, a keepsake volume. And it's called Gratitude. And I thought, hey, it's Thanksgiving week. Let's, perfect opportunity to look at gratitude.
And, of course, these were written when he knew...
When he knew he was dying.
He was dying and was continually writing and sharing it. And the last one was published just a few days before he died.
Right.
Gratitude by Oliver Sacks and published by Knopf. Beautiful book.
The last group is Church, Lays, and Mayer. Church and Lays have written a book. No, they didn't write it. Simon wrote it. This is a local interest book. Simon is the cat at the Red Lion Inn in Stockbridge, the famous cat who everybody sees when they walk into the lobby or they try to sit by the fire, and Simon comes up and tells them stories. Well, he doesn't tell them stories, but Jana Lays and Jane Church have listened to these stories that Simon tells, and they've written them down for him. Does that make any sense?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Yes.
If you're a cat lover, this is a gift book.
And this is a very cute cat that's at the Red Lion Inn, and he is the ambassador of the Red Lion, and it's Simon Says, and the book is there and
published locally.
And great and stories.
About being a cat at the Red Lion Inn in Stockbridge.
Tails, T-A-I-L-S, Matt.
You caught it.
Okay.
Okay. I've never brought a gift book before.
No, not usually you don't.
Now we're going for 180 degrees, and the other person in that firm is Bernadette Mayer, and this book is called "Eating the Colors of a Lineup of Words," published by Station Hill Press here in Barrytown, New York, and it is a collection of Bernadette's first seven books of poetry. Bernadette Mayer was part of the second generation of the New York School of Poets, the St. Mark's Poetry Project in the 60s and 70s, experimental writer and almost a language poet, but not really. One of my favorite poems of hers is called "Carlton Fisk is My Ideal." When she moved to New Hampshire, and she moved to, I think, Henniker, New Hampshire at one point, which was Carlton Fisk's hometown, and she wrote that. And she also wrote a number, she lived in Lenox, Massachusetts for a number of years, and she wrote a number of poems about Lenox, and the bookstore certainly figures in a lot of these poems. And the one book that comes after these seven books that I want to talk about also is Midwinter Day. Midwinter Day is a book-length poem about the town of Lenox. She wrote on December 22nd, or it's about Midwinter Day, December 22nd, 1978. If the city of Dublin were destroyed, James Joyce said you could build it up again brick by brick just by reading Ulysses and Leopold Bloom's adventures in the city of London, in the city of Dublin, on June 16th, 1904. Bernadette Mayer did the same thing with the town of Lenox, Midwinter Day, December 22nd, 1978. And on December 22nd this year, we will be having an open reading of her book. We will read the entire book. Come in anytime during the day, sit down and read a chapter, read a verse, read a paragraph, read whatever you like. Not too long, but leave room for other people.
Don't hog the mic.
Don't hog the mic, right.
All right.
So that's Bernadette Mayer and the Eating the Colors. Bernadette was in town a few weeks ago for a reading of this book, of the early poems, and she's just a wonderful poet.
We're out of time.
Shh. Did you get a chance to say anything?
You did great.
Or did I hog the mic again?
No, we both conversed nicely, I think. All right. For more information on the bookstore in Lenox, here's an idea. Go visit them. They're at 11 Housatonic Street in Lenox, Massachusetts. You can also visit them online at bookstoreinlenox.com. You can find out about their events, which are taking place on December 22nd, of Midwinter Day, Also, you can find out about the signed copies that they have of The Mulberry Bush and of Danny Klein's Every Time I Find the Meaning of Life, They Change It, and other wonderful titles as well. Bookstoreinlenox.com. Matt Tannenbaum, you're the best. Have a glorious holiday season, and I look forward to seeing you in the new year.
You too, Joe. Thanks,
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.